Magic the Amateuring, Episode 2, may not be suitable for all ages.
Or it might.
We don't know yet.
It hasn't happened.
Okay, guys. We're going to start this episode by having Ben eat a cookie. Because if you listen to Episode 1, you'll hear more about why that's a big deal for Ben.
I'm gonna explain it real quick, though, just in case they didn't. Ben's
on.
Hold on,
I'm going to give Ben
the cookie.
For those
of you just tuning in. Here's what you missed last week.
While Maria recaps, I'm going to give Ben this cookie and he's going to start eating it.
Ben's on the paleo
You're
diet.
You're going to force this on me.
Megan is, in fact, forcing the cookie into his mouth. Ben, eat it. And he told us that when he has one bite of a cookie, he can tell and his body freaks out. So hopefully that'll happen during this episode.
Ben is not getting a lot of sugar or carbs. Sugar is a carb. Anyways, on the paleo diet.
So Ben, will you please just like update us as this goes on with what you're feeling, if you get some kind of feeling from this?
I just want, for everyone listening at home, if you want the same experience, just eat like 1/6 of a graham cracker, and that's basically what this cookie is.
It is a shortbread cookie. Megan has just now forced another cookie in Ben's mouth.
Oh,
you guys, this is going to get crazy.
Okay, you guys, now we are going to talk about magic.
Right. Let's introduce ourselves. My name's Maria. To my left, I have
Megan.
And to my right is our resident magic expert.
My name is Ben.
We are magic amateurs. That's why it's called Magic the Amateuring. We are also amateur addicts. We are addicted to this game and have only been playing for about 2 months. And, well, we're going to start with our first segment, which is lessons we have learned in magic since our last episode. What have we learned? We're growing as players. What new knowledge of the game do we have?
So we're going to start this week out with talking about the stack.
Right.
Which is when, at any point, Ben, you have to confirm facts.
Okay.
As I guess them.
Sure.
Okay. So during any phase, if certain spells are played or abilities are triggered,
mm-hmm.
they go on what is known as the stack.
The yes. stack.
And the stack resolves from the most recent card played down to the first card that was played.
Yep. That would be first in, last out, or last in, first out. For those of you who are into data structures, where are my data structure peeps at?
Great.
Something that confused me was that when I heard about the stack, I immediately thought of Scott Stack, the host of Unsolved Mysteries. That's not it.
More recently, the stack was an unsolved mystery.
It was. The reason I wanted to talk about this was because when I first learned about it, it was kind of a really confusing topic that seemed pretty opaque to me. But now as I play more and more, I find myself being like, oh, well, that'll go on the stack. And since that's on top, it's going to resolve first and then whatever. So it's giving hope to everybody out there who might be confused about some certain magic things, that as you continue to play, it'll become more and more clear.
Yep. And that's why when you played your first game, I didn't mention the stack at all, because that is a tough cookie to swallow.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
So let's give an example.
Uh-huh.
Let me think of one.
Uh-huh.
The one that's coming to mind is the creatures that had Metalcraft. What deck is that?
That was from Scars of Mirrodin.
Great. So...
Guys, it's your fault for giving me a cookie.
In that deck, there were certain creatures that had abilities that were triggered by Metalcraft, which was when you had three or more artifact creatures.
I almost forgot about playing that deck, Megan.
Aww, it's still stuck here in my brain.
That was fun.
That was our first non-basic deck.
Yes.
Anyways, so if, say, during an attack phase, someone who had metalcraft on a creature attacked with that creature. Oh, now I'm lost.
Well, metalcraft is confusing because all metalcraft really means is that you have... Metalcraft is active when you have three artifacts under your control. And I think the specific ability you were thinking about was the Argent Sphinx, which is a 4/3 flyer. And if you had Metalcraft, you could pay a mana to exile him, and he'd come back at the beginning of the next end step. And so that we got into some shenanigans because you were... Oh, and then the other creature was Carnifax Demon, which is a 6/6 flyer who can remove -1/-1 counters to give everything else -1/-1 counters. So it was a really... It was the first game state where it became really important for you guys to understand the stack, because it was really important...
Oh, fuck. Sorry, guys.
Oh, I think Maria's getting a call from the president right now. She has to step away.
Yep. It's really important. It's the red phone.
So anyway, it was really unclear what was going to happen in that game, because there's so many different things going on, and some of you had, I think you had an instant in your hand as well. And so depending on the order of how things worked, there was just very little way to predict what was actually going to happen.
You guys, China's gone.
So the way I remember it is that to try and get rid of Argent Sphinx's ability, I targeted one of her metal crap. Nope, one of her artifact creatures.
Right. You wanted to force her to use the ability now or never.
Exactly. No, I think I wanted to get rid of that ability altogether.
Yes.
So if she tried to use that ability before I killed her creature. Say she activates the ability, I kill a creature. The stack resolves so that the creature dies, and then is the ability still active?
Yep, the ability will still be active. Once you put something on the stack, it doesn't go away just because you've destroyed the source of it, or because you've removed the ability from the source of it. When things resolve on the stack, they do check to make sure that their targets are legal. So, for example, if you said you played a spell that said destroy target non-black creature, and then in response I turned it into a black creature somehow, then when that spell resolves, it's going to be countered because it doesn't have a legal target anymore.
Gotcha. Even if that wasn't our original point, I think I learned something about the stack right now.
Sweet.
Word.
It'll be a continuing venture.
Just like unsolved mysteries.
Dun dun.
What was their theme song?
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
God, it was a good theme song.
Unsolved mysteries. We're digging through some unsolved mysteries.
Unsolved mysteries.
We're digging through some unsolved mysteries. Oh, yeah.
That was probably it.
I think that was it.
Our next segment is a little question and answer session, which is kind of what our last lessons learned segment was, too. But this week during question and answer, we're going to be talking about regeneration. Maria?
Right. Okay, this one came up because Ben has had sent us today a combat math problem in Gmail and asked us to solve it. And I had looked at it and put my thoughts down. What was it? There was a creature, a trestle troll, and the opponent had. And I said, well, if I kill them, he'll regenerate it for his turn or whatever. And Megan, what did you note after I had written that?
I noted that at the time, the opponent did not have the mana needed to regenerate trestle troll. So if he had blocked with him that next turn, he would not have been able to regenerate.
Because you have to pay your mana to regenerate before he is killed?
Yes, because I think, and Ben, you'll probably correct me on this, but regeneration, you pay the mana and activate regeneration, and that creates a situation where the next time that that creature would be killed, instead it is tapped and removed from combat, and some sort of weird replacement is in its place.
But can I make this point is why I said it, in why I said my first thing, which maybe I'm thinking of something else, but I seem to remember people regenerating things from their graveyard. After.
They're cheaters and liars.
Yep, you can't use regeneration on something that's in a graveyard. There are spells that can bring stuff back from the graveyard, but then it says, you know, return target creature from graveyard to its owner's hand or to the battlefield or whatever.
Okay.
So yeah, regeneration, Megan is correct, has to be used before the creature dies and during the same turn that the creature dies.
Even if you're not sure that it's going to die, or you would be sure because you'd done the math and you're like, oh, it's going to die, so I'm going to make sure before you have to say before combat damage is assigned, I'm going to regenerate. Yep,
before combat damage, or if it's, you know, a red spell or something that's targeting the regenerator before that spell resolves. Yep.
That goes on the stack.
It does go on the stack, and regeneration goes on the stack too, which means if someone only has the mana to regenerate something once, and you have an instant that can kill it, then you can kill it in response to regeneration, and then it's dead for good. Unless, you know, they have the...
You're putting a lot of cards on that.
I know, there's a lot of... It's usually not worth it to throw that many cards at it, but, you know, it happens. There's situations where it's worth it.
Okay, so I think that in gameplay, say it had died and nobody had said, oh, I want to regenerate it. But then after, technically, you're like, oh, it's dead. And they're like, oh, well, now I pay two and I'm going to regenerate it. Would you argue that point in a match, or would you just let it go because it's the same thing?
Usually I wouldn't argue that. I mean, usually it's pretty obvious when someone has the ability to regenerate something, and so I'm not going to be a stickler about it. If I was playing in, if I was playing in someone that I knew was good, or some high level event or something, the way I would phrase it is go to combat damage. And then if they agree to go to combat damage before they regenerate it, then yeah, that guy dies. And if, you know, if it's not just a friendly match at the local store or whatever, then, and there's like judges involved, then I'll just be like, yeah, hey, judge, call judge. Excuse me, Mr. Judge. But this when guy you're... said we could go to combat damage, and now he's trying to regenerate on me. Poor form.
Do you say go to combat damage, question mark, when you're playing in the basement?
In the basement?
At the local store.
Oh. I might say combat damage.
Okay.
Just because... you know, sometimes when you block, there's like this awkward standoff where it's like, are you going to play a trick? Am I going to play a trick? I don't want to play a trick unless you're going to play a trick.
Are you going to play a trick? All right, moving on. Maria recently acquired an iPad. How excited are you?
Really excited.
Maria, why don't you get out your iPad? It's right. Very fancy, and it has Siri.
It's right here, guys.
So we have a new segment this week called Ask Siri About Magic.
Look at that retina display.
So we're supposed to talk right now. Your music library is empty. You didn't hear our question.
Well,
okay.
We just learned something about it again. Maria's.
Yeah. Get you guys, some music. Why?
Why is your music library empty?
Because
do
all
you
my
live in the town from Footloose?
It's all on my phone. It's on my phone, not on my iPad.
Okay.
Look, I just got this yesterday.
Next, we're going to start a podcast about the cloud.
Okay, you guys, shut up. I have to ask it a question. Okay. Is magic still cool?
Let me check on that. Would you like me to search the web for is magic still cool?
Search the web.
Searching the web for is magic still cool?
Ooh, there's lots of forums.
Wow.
Let's try Yahoo Answers, because that one is really unreliable. Yes, my friends make me play it all the time with them. Best answer.
40% two votes 1 year ago.
Can I ask it a question?
Wait.
Siri. Is Vexing Devil any good?
Let me check that. Would you like me to search the web for is a Vexing Devil any good?
No.
No, you have to
take it. I want you to tell me.
Yes, yeah, Siri, why don't you take a stance on this issue?
I don't know what you mean by, don't you take an issue stance on this issue? How about a web search?
No, quit trying to defer your responsibilities, Siri. Look, Siri,
I don't know what that means. If you like, I can search the web for. Let's Siri.
That's enough. Okay. That's enough.
So, moving on.
Yes, to Cards of the Week.
This week's Cards of the Week are brought to you by Innistrad. We just this past weekend did a cube
Leaves
draft.
You with the clean feeling.
Innistrad, the fresh maker. You guys, that one's already taken. Anyways, we did a cube draft on Sunday.
That's
Monday,
something we learned.
Sunday.
A cube draft. We've never done that before.
Oh, that's right. That is something new.
Technically, you still haven't done it.
Okay, well.
Okay, shut up.
Because basically what we did is I gathered together all my, you know, Innistrad commons and I divided them into three. And then we each built decks out of that. So it was more like a cube sealed pool.
There you go. Cube sealed pool.
Last in, first out.
So, we'll go ahead and...
Megan, why don't you share some of your favorites from your Innistrad?
Sure. I'm actually going to start out with my move of the week, which happened just today during lunchtime magic. My Thraben Sentry, who is a human soldier with vigilance, and whenever another creature you control dies, you may transform Thraben Sentry. He transforms into a 5/4 with trample. And I was having a hard time getting him to transform because he does have the nice ability of once you put him on the battlefield, no one wants to kill your creatures because then he turns into a monster. Anyways, he had an enchantment on him. Did he have this one?
Yeah.
He had Chant of the Skiffsaying, which, Maria, I know this is your card of the week.
Yes.
It gives the enchanted creature -13/-0. So he had that enchantment on him. And I had just played Silver Chase Fox, which has the... Is this a triggered ability?
That's an activated ability.
Okay, thank you. There we go. Oh, I know the difference.
Wait, tell me the difference.
So a triggered ability means that when an action happens, like it says, when combat damage is dealt. Transforming is one, right?
Yep.
So transforming is a triggered ability.
Whenever triggered by something else.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it can't be stopped, right?
And an activated ability is just something that comes along with when it's played.
Yes.
Okay.
So, anyways, Silver Chase Fox has the activated ability of sacrifice Silver Chase Fox, exile target enchantment. And so I played this card down. I was pretty far behind. I think I still lost. Anyways, so I played him down. I sacrificed him, which means that a creature died. I got to get rid of the enchantment that was giving my guy -13/-0, and I got to transform him. So I felt pretty sweet about that move because he went from a -11/2 to a 5/4 in one turn.
It was a pretty good play. I was really proud of you for seeing that play.
Thank you very much. All right, Maria.
I also picked one of my cards was the chant of this. How do you say that? Skiffsaying?
Skiffsaying.
I'd say Skiffsaying.
Okay.
But, you know, it's a made-up word.
Sure.
It's like, how do you say Harry Potter's name?
Harry Potter. That's what I'm going to guess.
Well, to each his
In
own.
In Russian, you say it Gary Potter, because even though they have an H sound, for some reason they chose to put a G at the beginning. Anyways.
I gave Megan a hat with Russian on it, and now she thinks she knows everything.
Gary Potter. And Cockney, he's called Harry Potter. Okay, anyway, I chose this card because it was negative 13, negative 0, and that just seemed very strange to me and interesting.
That it was specifically 13?
Yes. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, because it's from Innistrad, and Innistrad was a horror-themed set. And so there
what,
were
what themed?
A horror-themed set.
Okay.
Not a horror-themed set. Magic has not done one of those yet.
Yet.
So there were several cards that would just use the number 13 instead of, you know, some other really big number. Like on this card, it doesn't matter that much that it's 13 as opposed to like 10 or 8 or something. It's not going to come up that often. And there was another spell that could do 13 damage to a creature. Well, there's very few creatures that have more than 13 toughness. So yeah, they just kind of did that for flavor.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I just thought I'd bring up the Spectral Rider from Innistrad as well. It's a 2/2 creature spirit knight with Intimidate on it. And the reason I bring that up is because we didn't see Intimidate so far in Return to Ravnica, as far as I remember.
Yeah, I think that's true. There is the Golgari Guildmage can give things Intimidate, but I don't know if you guys have had a chance to play with him, if you've had the pleasure.
No.
That brings me to another question actually about Innistrad. I have a couple of cards in my deck that have Flashback, which means that you can cast it from your graveyard. It usually costs a little bit more and has a different color of mana for that Flashback cost. And I was wondering if Flashback is something that you've seen frequently in other sets, or if it's something that was unique to Innistrad.
Innistrad was not the first time we've seen Flashback. I personally haven't played a lot of other sets that had it, but it's one of the mechanics that they bring back occasionally. And I think specifically they brought it back for Innistrad because it was a graveyard-based mechanic, and so it helped kind of give the flavor of like, oh, the stuff that's in your graveyard matters, and stuff can come back from your graveyard and rise from the dead and all that.
It fits with their horror theme.
Yeah. Also in Innistrad, one thing that was cool is that there are a ton of cards that kind of do, you get like two uses out of the card. So for example, there's like the Doom Traveler. When he dies, he turns into a spirit token. There's all the Flashback cards that use them once and then you can use them again. And there's lots of guys that when they die, they give something +1/+1 counters or something like that. And so I think that's part of the reason they put Flashback stuff in there is just so that, you know, there'd be more flexibility and so that you'd have a chance of, you know, continuing to cast spells and keep all those werewolves from flipping over.
My question, I remember when I saw this, was how is it different from Scavenge?
Well, it came before Scavenge. Scavenge is new in Return to Ravnica. And I think what Scavenge is a way for them to do Flashback, but with creatures. So when you Flashback a spell, you exile the spell, and that's how you, you know, keep Flashback from being insane because you can just do it over and over. They didn't really have a way to do that with creatures because if you bring a creature back into play, it's hard to like keep track of the fact that you have to exile it or something. But if you're just like moving those counters onto a dude, it's kind of like it's a similar thing.
Right. I want to take this moment to do a cookie check, Ben.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I feel, at this point, I feel no different than my normal status quo.
Megan. Oh, God. Megan, get it ready.
What are you doing?
Ben is ingesting yet another shortbread cookie.
Which
I would, at this point, I would rather just eat pure sugar.
We have that option available to you.
I bet.
That'll move us into our Euphemism of the Week segment. This week's euphemism is
let
one that you can...
Let me eat your cookie.
Okay, that's a euphemism, but it's not magic-based.
Let me eat your magic cookie for 3 mana.
No.
No.
Your cookie. Return that cookie to its owner's hand.
Okay. That one was all right. Okay. That one was all right.
Yep.
Return that creature to its owner's hand. Works, I suppose.
Do you just want to leave it at that?
Give one from you.
Okay, sure.
Give one with some real passion.
Okay. I don't know. I really enjoyed that one, though. Okay, so this welcome. One is a work-based.
Often women say that to me.
This is our magic expert, Ben, everybody. Ben.
Thanks, Ben. So this is a work-based euphemism. The other day, I was having to leave a lovely conversation with Maria to go and copy a shit ton of documents. So I typed in, I'll be back in a while. I have an 8-8 of documents to copy.
I loved it.
So that just introduces the use of power and toughness to describe things in your workplace. We also have my boss is a 2-2 with no special abilities. Uh-huh. Or if you really enjoy your boss, my boss is a 5-5 flyer with first strike. Feel right. free to use those around your workplace as you see fit. If you were like me and you work in a legal office, probably no one's going to know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But it's time they got a taste of their own medicine, because I think people in a legal office often talk like, you know, with terms that nobody else knows.
That's right. What is a subpoena deuces tecum? Now I know, but I didn't want
to. Sounds like something in a toilet.
I know. For those of you who are now curious, a subpoena deuces tecum is a subpoena that you send to someone, and a subpoena just means that they have to show up someplace, and that one specifically says that they have to show up with the documents that you tell them that they have to show up with. You're welcome.
Mm.
Moving on.
History shit. All right, we're going to have some history here, some magic history.
Yeah.
And the first thing I'm going to bring up is something I was Googling at work, which was weirdest magic cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a forum with a whole bunch of them listed. And they were very, very, very strange ones. Like, I'll list three. One with nothing, which says you must discard your entire hand. Ashnod's coupon, in which your opponent buys you a drink. Chaos confetti, of course, related to Chaos Orb.
Yeah.
But where you tear it up and throw it all over the table.
Okay.
And somebody was like, oh, but those are from an unset, so that doesn't even count. And I was like, what is that, Ben?
Well, the unsets, I've never played with them or bought any of them, but I've seen them on the internet occasionally. They're basically a set. They're sets that are full of, like, joke cards.
Oh.
And so the first one was Unglued, I think. And then I forget what the other one was, but it also started with un.
Is an unset put out by Wizards of the Coast?
Yeah, Wizards of the Coast made them, but all the cards had like a silver border that you could tell they were fake. And then, yeah, it was just dumb cards like Ashnod's Coupon or Chaos Confettis, or like, you know, basically it's like they took... Here's a rule from a drinking game, and we'll put that on a magic card.
So was this like a full deck you could play with these weird cards, or are you just supposed to in...
There, yeah, it was like a real set. You could like draft it, and you could make decks out of it.
Oh
and
my
stuff.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
That would seem kind of fun to do once.
Right. Yeah, and I think that might be the key to the reason why they don't really make sets like this anymore.
An unset seems like the magic inside joke.
Yeah, it was
the ultimate magic inside.
It was really like inside, and I think especially lately, the designers of Magic have been trying to do more stuff to make Magic more accessible to new players, because that's obviously a big problem with the game, which you guys have firsthand experience with, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what are they doing to make the game more accessible?
Mostly, the big things they're doing are. Making cards simpler, like the cards in the sets are a lot simpler now than they used to be, you know,
just looking at older
ago.
Cards, the text is a lot bigger.
And specifically, like for people who are drafting or buying packs, they've made common cards much simpler, And when they want to do something weird or crazy, they save it for rare cards. And that way, you know, if you're playing in a draft or something, it's just easier to look at the board where it's mostly commons and figure out what's going on. There was a set a few years ago called Lorwyn. And in the set, like, there were all these different creature types, and the creature types mattered. And then, like, so there'd be, like, goblin shamans and, like, giant warriors. And you'd have a card that said, like, target warrior can't attack or be blocked by a coward. And then target creature becomes a coward.
Well,
it was pretty complicated. And then to top it off, they had all these changeling cards, which were all creature types. Yeah. So, like...
What?
So, like, any creature type, like goblin, elf, giant, warrior, it'd be all of them. Yeah.
You guys, you can't be a giant and an elf.
I know. See how confusing that is?
You can be slender and tall with beautiful long hair, but not a giant.
Are we talking?
So, I mean, you guys have seen the benefit of that because you've only played the last few sets. But yeah, if you had tried to start this game, you know, 3 years ago or something, like, I don't know if you guys even would have been able to do a draft without just, you know, deciding
getting mind fucked.
Yeah, to take a cold shower afterwards.
Right. I think you've mixed your metaphors.
Yep. Our next segment is Great Moments in Addiction.
Yes, it's my favorite segment.
All right, Maria, do you want to start?
I will start because we've touched on the topic. And this is where we talk about moments when our addiction comes to the surface, much like a dead body in a salty lake. And this is proving that we have an addiction, and it's serious. Mine is, well, you know, the holidays are coming up, and I had to pick a Christmas present. What did I pick, you guys?
An iPad.
And now I had been going around and around in circles of whether or not I wanted to get one because I was like, what the heck am I going to use it for? It's cool, sure, but what am I going to do with it? Anyways, Megan has an iPad, and she downloaded the Magic 2013 iPad app. And I saw her playing it, and I was like, that is it. That's a reason enough. That is literally reason enough for me to get an iPad. And... sure, I'm finding other cool things with it, but that was the main impetus. That was the main impetus, everybody, for this purchase.
Wow.
That's pretty hardcore, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's the hardest core I could think of. Without there being, like, new.
What about the Earth's?
The Earth's core, I believe, is...
molten?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's molten.
Never mind.
For now.
Oh.
Until heat death, the inevitable heat
death.
Sure,
yeah.
No, before the heat death of the universe, our galaxy and our solar system will be long gone.
For sure. But will the Earth's core have hardened?
I don't think that there is any point in time at which the Earth's core will harden. Ben?
There probably is. Eventually the sun will burn out. There'll be...
But wouldn't at first the sun expand to a point where it engulfed the Earth?
No, I don't think that'll happen.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
We'll follow up with this next week when I have the Google evidence to prove that I'm right.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
All right, Megan, what's your great moment in addiction?
My great moment is not quite as great as yours, but it was yesterday when we were playing Magic after an improv show.
Yeah.
Which we do sometimes.
After or during an improv
show? Okay, we were playing during an improv show.
Can I just say something here?
Sure.
These two were playing during my set, you guys. They didn't even watch me.
Megan,
we listened.
Maria, to be fair, you have a lot of sets.
Yes, I do.
We're not going to make it to all of them.
And sometimes we'll make it, but we'll sit out in the lobby and play Magic during them.
Yeah, exactly. We could hear what was going on.
So that might be evidence of addiction. Mm-hmm. When your friend is doing a show and you're there. Mm-hmm. But you sit out in the lobby mm-hmm. and play magic.
Also, the lobby was really cold.
It was, but we had a space heater by our feet.
But if we didn't have that space heater, we would have still been playing.
Yep, that's
mm-hmm.
fair.
Mm-hmm. So, how cold would it have to be for us to stop? That's the question.
I mean, maybe cold enough that I would have to put on mittens because then it would make it difficult to play.
I would still play in mittens. You guys, let's take this podcast outside right now and see how long we last.
Maria, it was 5 degrees when I came inside.
Next week, we'll find out how far will we go.
All right, so in addition to that lovely moment of addiction, at the same time, my boyfriend decided to come watch our game. And
yeah, this is pretty good.
And we were all sitting there, and I don't remember exactly what the question Ben posed.
It was me.
I asked him how he felt about your new hobby.
There we go. And he was like, honestly, I find it a little off-putting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I knew at that moment that that wouldn't...
It's over.
God!
No. I knew that at that moment, though, that would never be enough to make me stop playing magic.
Nice.
So, don't let a man to rank your loves at this point.
Okay, he's not going to listen to this. He's not going to listen to this.
I really, really hope not. But either way, I'm not going to rank them.
Yeah.
As much as you might try to make me. But I'm saying if it was an ultimatum, one, that's the sign of a not nice person anyways.
Right. But what if I'm giving you the ultimatum?
Ben.
What if I told you?
Oh, God.
You had to break up with him or I'd never play magic with you again.
Maria, would you still play magic with me?
Yes. Because that's not the terms of his ultimatum.
There you go.
What if I told you that Maria was a robot and I would erase her memory?
Maria, are you a robot?
What if I told you I programmed Maria to say she was not a robot?
I'm not a robot.
I knew she would say that.
I can find other people to play with.
Okay, if you say so.
Moving on.
Great story. Great story. He'll come around, maybe.
Bradtown, I love you.
We love you, Bradtown. Okay, finally today, we're going to talk about some of our habits that we're working on and some of our goals we have for our future magic games as we develop as players and as young ladies. Ben, how's that? Cookie check. Cookie check.
I'm crashing. I'm crashing.
Something we've been talking a lot about recently is the importance of card advantage and ways you can achieve a card advantage against your opponent. This is really important, I think. And I've really been trying to think about it a lot more when I'm playing because there are a number of different ways to get it. Do you want to go through some, Benjamin?
Sure. The simplest form of card advantage is card draw. If you have a spell that says draw two cards, that's card advantage. Boom.
And why is it an important thing to remember?
Well, all other things being equal, the player that gets to play more cards is usually going to win because they're either going to have more creatures or they're going to have killed more of the opponent's creatures or whatever.
Oh, and also, so a lot of card advantage can be traced back to mana as well, right? So an artifact could be something seen as something. An artifact that allows you to tap it for mana can also be seen as having card advantage because when you pay for that artifact, the first time that you put it down, obviously that turn is not a ton of help, but then the next turn, you're one mana ahead of your opponent.
Well, that's not card advantage because you spent a card to get that mana, so it's just like having another land in your deck. But what it is tempo advantage.
There we go.
Because you essentially get a turn ahead on your mana development because you invested a turn and that mana into the artifact, and then next turn, you're going to untap with more mana.
Nice. So there's there's not just card advantage, there's also tempo advantage.
Yep.
Tempo advantage is what allows you to get ahead of your opponent in casting creatures of higher mana or casting more creatures for more mana.
Yeah. Yep. There's kind of two approaches to tempo advantage. One is just to play stuff that's cheap and can be played out faster. For example, you know, usually on turn one in most games, you don't do anything, right?
Yeah.
But if you have the Rakdos deck, you might drop down that one mana 2/2 who can't block just to get in some early damage. That's an example of tempo advantage. If you're trying to speed up your mana base, that's known as ramp. That's called ramp. You're ramping up your mana so that later on you can put down big spells, or you can just build a deck around the assumption that you're going to have access to more mana than your opponent does.
Nice. And then card advantage, would something like First Strike be seen as card advantage?
No, not really, because your opponent can see First Strike coming, and so they can figure out, oh, if I block with this creature, it's just going to be a waste.
Oh, but something like Flash.
Yeah, exactly. If you're attacking into me, and you don't know that I'm going to flash in a creature that can just block and kill your creature without dying itself, then yeah, that's a form of card advantage.
Sweet.
And any card that allows you to draw more cards, obviously.
Oh, I already said that.
Okay, I wasn't listening to you.
That's fair.
Can you think of any other types of card advantage off the top of your head?
Sure. There's some cards, some creatures can, you know, tap to do damage to other creatures. And so those can be a form of card advantage because, you know, if they do one damage to target creature, they can basically, over the course of several turns, kill off all of the one toughness creatures the opponent has. That's a good source of card advantage. Cards that do two things at once, so like Rootborn Defenses, it makes your creatures indestructible, and it populates a token. So if your opponent is attacking with several creatures, expecting to trade with your creatures if you block, you can cast this, and you know you might gain two cards worth of advantage because you're making blocks, you're killing his creatures, but yours are not dying, and you get to create an additional token. Or if you talk about cards like Inaction Injunction, it says draw a card right on the card. So that card is essentially free. Now, that's not really card advantage, but it's like free tempo. Because you can use that card, and the only penalty you pay is the mana that it cost. Because you're replacing that card right away.
And this is something I think is important to talk about, because if I was drafting earlier, I might not think a card that says, you know, draw four, pick two or whatever, mm-hmm. would have been any good. I probably wouldn't take it.
Right.
But nowadays, I might think twice about not taking that kind of card. So would you take something like that over a creature?
Yeah, definitely. There is actually a card in Return of Ravnica called Thought Flare that is a 5-mana instant, and it says, draw 4 cards, discard 2 cards. And that card is great. It puts you up. Not only does it put you up 2 whole cards, but it lets you pick which 2 you want. And usually, you can throw away lands or something that aren't worth it, aren't worth as much as other cards. So yeah, cards like that put you way ahead. And I definitely pick cards like that. And I actually did a draft online today where I didn't pick that card. And guys, I probably should have.
Learning.
Learning.
Awesome. Another one that I had that experience with today was I had only one blue mana in my deck that I could use for flashback spells, and then I had an artifact which would allow me to search my deck and find any land. So that is that tempo or is that card advantage?
So being able to search for a land, in that case, it's not actually card or tempo advantage. Because you had to sacrifice that card to go get the island.
Okay.
And it didn't put it into play, so you're not ramping up your mana. But it did give you the ability to get that island to flash something back. So in that sense, it's like it bought you that card.
Nice. So that counts as just making me feel awesome advantage.
Sure.
That's now an official term.
Cool.
Well, everybody, that's our episode.
Sweet.
And you guys are going to draft on Tuesday. Are you going to do that?
Yeah, I probably. So. I heard the store that we've been going to, I believe, was just remodeled.
Whoa!
Yeah, Ian said that he was going to remodel the store a little bit. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing...
how much remodeling you can accomplish within a week?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 1 week.
Ben was there last week.
I was there last week. It was unremodeled.
I feel real bad that I'm not going to be able to go.
Maria,
you know, everything in life is a choice. Whatever love you're putting above magic right now is, you know, is up to you. Is it a suitor?
Not this time. This time it's a rehearsal. And I don't want to get kicked out of the group.
Oh.
But then you'd have more time.
Yeah.
Look, it's just...
that solved two problems with one addiction.
Yeah.
Just like alcoholism. Get rid of that pesky family and forget all your troubles.
Sure.
All right. And on that happy note...
yeah. We all do improv, by the way. In case you haven't figured it out, listener. We're just hiding that little nugget right at the end.
For the really dedicated people. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the second episode of
Magic the Amateuring.
Magic the Amateuring. Magic the Amateuring. Doo-doo.
Take us out, Len. So I'm a million miles in front of